It's Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele. Thanks to Scarecrow, your local kitchen, florist and grocer. Go to scarecrow.co.nz.
What's up, Rita?
Kia ora, how are you guys?
Oh, bloody well, not bad. Not bad at all. Just looking to try and be more sustainable in my regular daily living, you know.
Is there anything in particular you're up to at the moment? You're trying to do?
I am not driving a car to work.
Woo! That's impressive.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Appreciate that. Appreciate you.
Thank you. I thought on that note today we could actually have a look at some ways to be a bit more sustainable, because we do talk a lot about the problems.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons we often don't talk about the solution is because
the problem is so big. The problem is just so big.
It is. And I wonder sometimes whether people are willing to make some of the sacrifices. But, you know, let's talk about them anyway. One of the best things you can do is jump onto one of the the footprint calculators. So footprintcalculator.org is a really good one. And calculate your ecological footprint. So this is like how much like of Earth's resources you use to live the lifestyle that you live.
Okay.
They have a concept called Earth's Overshoot Day, which is basically like the day of the year where you have used up like the resources like for the year, if you know what I mean.
Kind of like the tipping point with whether or not we screwed the planet or not. It was kind of like 5 years ago.
Sort of a little bit like that. So in just to give you some context, like New Zealand's overshoot day is the 15th of May. So on the 15th of May, New Zealand uses up all of its resources. And then from then on, we're going into debt for
5 months
of the year.
So we don't get making half the year. I tell you what, don't hear anybody celebrating that day. Not really, you don't hear much about it.
No, it's not ideal. It's pretty shocking, actually. And some of the stats, so just to be carbon, like to keep, you know how they always talk about keeping under 1.5 degrees for us to have like a future, that's kind of nice, I guess. For us to do that, we would actually need to use less than 1.87 carbon tons a year per person. And at the moment we're using 18. So we've got a long way to go. And, you know, when you say things like that, it's completely overwhelming. Like I saw that stat and I was like, we're fucked. excuse my language. But then I go, well, actually, if everyone just starts slowly making changes, then it won't be as drastic. Mm. You know, like it's sort of, I feel like we're using resources like there's heaps of them now. Whereas if we start being more mindful of it, then at least, like, even if we got that number down to, like, you know, 4 and we still had to harvest, I mean, that's achievable. It was 18 down to effectively 2. It feels very overwhelming.
The government could definitely do a little bit more to like make a little bit more a game out of it. Like we're kind of a sporting nation. We should be like, let's try and make it to
a
October.
Gamify, absolutely. You know? And there is actually an app out there that does that where you can I think it's a social media app where you can actually gamify so you take this test. And then let's say, I know when I did mine, probably 10 years ago before I even knew, before I even started studying this stuff.
Right.
And I was using the equivalent of 9 planets. So if everyone lived like I was living, then we would need 9 planets to sustain the life that I was living. And I was I was driving around surfing lots and, you know.
Somebody's got a hot take here. I'm just saying, most eco-friendly thing you can do, don't have kids. Which is kind of hard out, because it's kind of is the future. So,
I mean, that's a really funny one. Like, I agree and see where they're coming from. But those,
you don't have a million kids. There you go. What about that one?
And those numbers are calculated at the increasing. So every generation has increased its ecological footprint. And it's going, if the next generation do the same as what we did from our parents, like
surely
70s,
not.
80s.
Sure.
No, the flaw in that whole have less kids is that the next generation of kids are fucked. Like, they're not going to have access to the things we've got. Like, it's just not possible. So, yes, the reason that I would say have less kids is because the future's actually pretty dire. Like, when I read the recent IPCC report, I burst into tears and was like, oh my God, my boys, like, what are they going to do? Like, in 40 years' time, their life is going to be shit. So, if you need a reason not to have kids or to have less kids, it's because the future's actually pretty Mad Maxy. So that's a good reason not to, you know.
If you
anyway,
do have kids,
let's have
a
train them in
martial
combat.
Martial art and drone operation. I think those are the skill sets that kids need.
Yeah, living on not a lot. Anyway, so here are some things you can do, and there's not really a major order to these. The number one, you guys can guess what I'm going to say first.
Eat less meat.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Okay, so eat less meat, fish, and dairy. And I had a little bit of a look about how much less you have to eat. and we're looking at, like, red meat, maybe only eating, like, once a month.
Okay.
So,
get a Rebel Whopper, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, make it a good one. I don't know. But, yeah, it's not, you know, I mean, look, that's doable, man. Like, it's not like no one's saying, you know, that you're never going to have a piece of steak again. Like, it's just like, okay, just have it once a month, you know? Same with fish is actually quite high. Prawns are the worst, which I'm always gutted about because prawns are, like, awesome. But they're just so bad for the environment in so many ways. It takes so much to go into making prawn.
It would be kind of cool if we just went to a you kill it, you eat it kind of thing. Yeah. Then you'd have to...
Oh, yeah, but I just...
If you had
just,
no kill skills, you'd have to partner up with somebody that can kill. And then you can...
Yeah, I mean...
No kill skills?
Yeah, but then you just... You kind of just get this, like, common... Like, you get this situation with the, like... You know, all the animals we've killed in the past where we just people go out and kill... Anyway,
so number one,
one, and the reason that I call that out is because of the 15% of your greenhouse gas emissions come from your meat consumption. Mm-hmm. So that's a super easy thing to just wipe off 15% straight away.
So
the next one is to eat local. So and if you want to know,
shout out Scarecrow. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, totally. Unpackaged is a really easy way of going. Is this local? Because you know, it takes packaging to ship and whatnot. So think about it like that. Like
Market culture.
Yeah. You know, yeah, where you can. And the great thing about eating local or buying local is that if there is packaging and you're like, I don't need this packaging, you can tell them. It's not like you're sending it to a random
Facebook page
that goes to nowhere, you know. Yeah. These people run their businesses, they will listen. And that kind of also ties into the third step, which is buying in bulk, which is about avoiding plastic. Mm-hmm. So if you can go and, you know, purchase, you know, or, you know, get old jars even for containers and then buy your food in bulk. It takes a bit of planning, but it is definitely worth doing.
Number three.
And that's number four.
How many numbers are we going up to, by the way?
We've got ten. So number four is reducing your food waste. So this is all about planning. Like, think about how, like, whenever I do the shopping, if I go through and I'm like, oh, there's, you know, half of a leftover meal here that someone was going to eat and never ate, you know?
Those sorts of things. Make a pie out of it, don't you?
Totally. So kind of just plan your meals. If you do have lots left over, freeze it. Find ways of using it. You know, little bits. Our household, the kids eat bananas, which is just like, you know, amazing for the environment.
The whole country loves bananas.
Yeah, and you know what I do? I've learnt to freeze them, and we use them in smoothies, but we also just throw them in the blender and they
make
ice cream
fight.
Frozen.
You know, have less food fights, but, you know, sometimes.
frozen banana in a blender makes ice cream. It's amazing.
Skin on.
And also, of course, composting, because that's super easy too.
Okay.
And then number five, just buy less stuff. So a good way
you're
to do this.
At me now. No thanks.
Monitor the rubbish going out, you know. So this is a really easy way to do it. Like if you're like, man, I'm using one rubbish bin every week. Just go, okay, cool. My aim in the next 3 months is to get that down to half in a week or whatever. So set yourself a goal and just try and achieve it. And fast fashion is one of the worst, like, culprits for this. So I used to be a shocker, man. I used to, 10 years ago, I would just buy clothes and then, you know, from, I don't know, whatever it was back then, Glassons or whatever, and then whatever the next cool thing was, wear that. You know, it was just shocking. And
That's not me. I'm more of a second-hand shopper.
Yeah. I started second-hand shopping and also just getting really good quality stuff. And I'm looking at some stuff and I'm like, man, I've had this for 20 years. Like, this is awesome. Mm. So definitely fashion and
what is that? Is that like a corduroy thing?
I think it's some BFM merch. I think it's
probably maybe not the shorts.
Yeah, I've got a bit of merch actually. It's quite funny. And then the other thing when you're buying is to look for efficiency in products in the products that you're buying. So if you're looking at buying, you know, any kind of long term stuff,
you mean the
like
planned obsolescence-ness.
Yeah, that stuff is a shocker, and I can't wait until they come down on these guys like a ton of bricks. And on that note, if you have a product that dies and you go, hang on a second, this shouldn't be dying, it doesn't feel right, give the consumer, there is a phone line, a consumer phone line, and you can call them, and they've got ages on everything, that everything should last. So I've got a dishwasher, it broke down after 6 years. I called them, they said it should last 10. So I was able to go back to the dishwashing company and say, your dishwasher is supposed to last 10 years under our Consumer Guarantees Act.
Mrs. Steele, we'll shoot another dishwasher out to you as soon as possible.
They were actual assholes about it, but we won't go down there. They did come to the party, but it was after a big fight. But it's worth having a fight, because I think what they think or what their business model was built on is people not fighting back.
Nobody giving
and so
a
they're
fight.
Like, cool. And even if 10% of people fight back, they're still up. You know, so it's like, no, we all need to fight back and say, no, hang on, I should be getting longer out of this product. Number six, decrease your energy use at home. So we just kind of talked
those
about that.
Off. Yeah.
Totally, and switch off, you know, whole units at the wall when you're not using them. Also, again, look at that energy efficiency, that there's an energy star rating on things, and quite often the good stars are more expensive, but the more expensive up front is worth, you know, the power usage down the line.
I'm looking at you, Prada Shop, Queen Street. Very well.
Oh, yeah.
Every time I go to Neo, I'm like, damn, that shop is, it's almost like a grow room. I think a plant would grow in there.
Oh, it's ridiculous. I mean, you would hope that they're all LED lights, but that's not.
No, it's very yellow. Very like soft.
Very, they are. You can also do a power audit. This is so much fun. So you need to.
Rita, you're a maniac. Keep going.
You need to buy one of these like power adapter things. And my advice is, if you've got one, then cheer it around your friends. Like once you've done your power audit, so you're not, you know.
Oh, like a neon login. I love it. Okay.
Yeah. Totally. And then what you can do is you just plug it into the units and then plug everything into it, and then it'll tell you which ones are spiking, and you can be like, right, okay, what's
cool.
the thing that's using
cool.
up all the power in this? Yeah, it's so cool.
Good to know the efficiency of your bits and bobs.
Totally. And then you can, like, and interesting, when we did ours, some of the things that stood out was the jug. Boiling the jug was huge. And I was like, oh, my God, because I quite often boil the jug and then go away to make a cup of tea
and I'll
go away, come back, and then be like, oh,
yeah,
it was 10 minutes ago, I'll just top it up with a boil. Now, that was drawing so much power, and when I saw how much power it was, I was like, damn it, I can have a lukewarm cup of tea, or I can just not get distracted and make the cup of tea.
Yeah. Also, the amount of water, I guess you're boiling when you're doing that cup, right?
Yeah, totally. It's so wasteful. It's ridiculous. Same with your hot water, like I know, shorter showers, you know, that's great, less water and you're using less power. And also the other one that spiked heaps for us was the oven. And again,
well,
I would turn it on.
Well, that's basically just a couple big boiling rods in there, you know, so same sort
of
thing.
Yeah, and I would sometimes turn it on and then go, oh, like, you know, I'll put the food in or whatever soon. And then it was like, oh, shit, I haven't put the food in for 40 minutes.
Couple of cones
and
on then, the deck? Oh, no.
Yeah,
no.
I mean, the good thing about it is that now power's so expensive, it makes everyone look at their power usage, right? And if you've got an app with your retailer, then you can have a look at where the hourly usage is and actually start figuring it out that way too. Number seven, decrease water use on the house. I was like, decrease what use? Decrease the water use in your house. And of course, we've just talked about less showers. Install water saving devices. Even if you're renting, I remember when I was renting when I was younger, and we put a brick in the system.
Classic.
Like,
classic.
So like, there's stuff like that
the
you can do.
The analog half flush, eh?
Totally. I'm putting little like shower heads on. You get shower heads that are great, but great for water saving, but still quite, you know, you feel like you're getting a shower, not a dribble. So there's lots of things like that. Google this stuff, man. There's so many good solutions. And then the other one is when you do own a house, plant appropriately. Like the amount of people that just take out trees to put lawn down or whatever, and it's kind of like, you know, lawn requires a lot of watering and isn't good for the environment, you know, it's a monoculture thing. I mean, sure, have a bit of lawn, but you don't necessarily need lawn to be everywhere. So just think about planting, you know, are you going to be able to water it? Is it appropriate for where you are? Number eight is transport. So drive less.
All right.
Where you take this, Kate, don't you?
Yes.
Full car, ride share, walk, public transport. Do what you need to do all in one drive if you can. And then also keep your car in good form. If you have to drive a car, keep it in good form. I just read good tyre pressure and well-maintained vehicles are 10% more efficient, which is awesome.
Can I say, as someone who started commuting to work about a year and a half ago on my bicycle, that it's actually bloody easy once you get in the rhythm of doing it. And for me to ride in from Avondale to BFM in the city, which is, it's not too far. I would understand that a lot of people do actually commute a bit further than that, but it's not too hard and it's actually quicker than driving by the time I've waited to get on the motorway, driven my car to the car park, got out of the car and then walked to work. It's actually far faster for me to just ride my bike in. And
you
save on gas. Yeah, totally.
That's what I was like, man, I live way up in the hills, so biking isn't really that ideal at the moment. But I'm trying to fit an exercise into my life. I'm like, I wish I could bike. Like, anyway.
You just live at the top of the White Axe, don't you? You just kind of got
one hill to get home. That last little bit.
You I can need do like it, Rita. Just start training.
The thing is, Rita, if you could just leave from the front on this one, that'd be good. Thanks.
Yeah. It is. Do you know what, though? Because I did mine, and I'll talk about my quickly in a second, my overshoot as well. But I hardly even leave the house anymore. I've, like, become a hermit. It's real bad. But anyway. cool. And then number nine, the other one about the car is get rid of, and this is for all the students out there because I know I used to be a shocker, get rid of unnecessary weight in your car. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty sure when I was studying, I lived out of my car. So if there's heavy stuff in there, just take it out. Not your spare tyre, though. You may need that. So,
did you say number nine, become a hermit?
Totally. Travel less by air.
Someone's saying cycle or train. I would say both. Just you can cycle to the train. You can actually take your bike.
Cycle
in the train.
And rain. Yes, I've been cycling in the rain.
I used to
drive down to the train station, put my bike, my BMX on the train, get off at Kingsland, bike over to Ponsonby, do that back. That was pretty cool and fun. Right, so
planes. Everyone's doing that.
Flying is—it's got a terrible ecological.
How am I supposed to get to fucking Raro?
Yeah, well, and honestly, I reckon this is the part for me that is super hard because I love traveling. So I've just taken this as like, well, if you have to travel, do it for like years on end. Like, go to South America and don't come back. Like, that's the one as far as I'm concerned. That's how I read that. Although
that would definitely
help out our
sort of. Your footprint in New Zealand will be very minimal, so yeah.
That's a good point. I tell you what, I feel like when I'm travelling, my footprint is pretty low too, because I'm living on like the smell of an oily rag. So, but yes, the air travel thing is a real shocker for New Zealanders. I mean, outside of the COVID world, we love travelling, so it's really hard. So I guess it's like, yeah, less of those quick trips up to Raro and more of the three to six month. Yeah, totally. Those big flights that you don't come back from for a while. And number 10, which I think is probably my favourite one, is don't fight change, push for it.
Is this like the penultimate of 10 things to be more sustainable about? Kind of? Is that where you're at?
And my favourite quote on this is, activism is the rent we pay for living on this planet. So we can do things like vote for those who want change, write to those change makers and tell them that they need to be more radical so that they know they've got your support, and ask for more ideas. So not just like, okay, just throw, you know, spew crap at the opposition. Like, what are you going to do about the problem? Like, convince me that you've got an answer. And also support degrowth. There's a fantastic book called Prosperity Without Growth by Tim Jackson, and it really leads the way for, it's sort of a footprint for how we can actually look into the future, how we could actually build an economy based on degrowth without actually losing too much of what is important to us. So it's a really awesome book.
Okay.
We get to choose how we grow our economy. We don't have to grow it at 10% per year, or 4% per year, or whatever. It's up to us, and we can grow it in the areas we want to grow it in.
It's tough because it's kind of human nature to grow and to make things better and to try and make more shit and to try and refine that.
But
that doesn't mean we can't apply all those desires that are somewhat inherent to being human to actually fixing a problem, you know?
100%. Like, I just think that, you know, it's one of those, it's like we are relying on some animal instinct stuff right now, and yeah. all we need to just do is take a breath and go, hang on a second, if this means that my children are going to live an awful future, then isn't it worth just taking a step back for a little while? Now, just I thought that I'd give you guys, because I remember I said about 10, it was probably close to 20 years ago, I did this and I got 9 Earths. I'm currently living on 1.3 Earths, which is a lot better. And my carbon footprint is 3.1 tonnes. I've still got to get it down to 1.87. But I will also flag with everyone that I fucking really leave the house.
Hey, just before you go, Rita, can we go back to that website? What was it called? Where you just go and test out your energy?
Footprintcalculator.org.
Okay, everybody go and do that and get back to us tomorrow.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting. And have a look at, because it's got there, like, where your issue is, really.
Good, okay.
You know,
good.
Easy fix,
probably.
That's really helpful. What was that?
It's probably just like an easy one if it's a glaring one. You know, just about everyone would probably have a glaring thing that they can easily type.
Yeah. Like for me, it was that food thing and buying local, you know, because things like bananas and, sure. you know, my kids like frozen raspberries and stuff like that, which is just, you know, I never used to eat them pre-kids. It's like your texter said, if you want to be better, don't have kids, because I tell you what, it's hard to tell them. Your footprint's too high, man. They're like, what?
Little Greta.
Oh dear.
All right, mate, we'll catch you next Monday. Thanks so much.
Thank you. See ya.
Thanks to Scarecrow, of course.
Sustaining Alive on 95BFM. Thanks to Scarecrow, your local kitchen, florist, and grocer. Go to scarecrow.co.nz. Ooh.